Good morning. Please open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Taking a week off from our study through the book of Genesis, trusting that in answer to many prayers, this message will be a blessing. It's encouragements or exhortations and honor for mothers. Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to read verses 1 to 13, Romans 12. This is God's word. I exhort you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Love must be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. We will end there. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we just ask now this morning that you would strengthen us with your word. Father, we are thankful that you do not leave us to ourselves. And that, Father, we can come in here and you can minister to us by your Spirit through the word. And we pray that that would happen. I ask that this isn't just an exercise of religion, an intellectual discourse. But Father, through your word, we ask that we would meet with the living Christ. This is something that is supernatural, that cannot be conjured up in the flesh. We cannot somehow plan for it. We cannot twist your arm behind your back, but we can plead. And we can ask as children that you would give us the Spirit, and that you would pour him out in full measure. And Father, that you would bind up hearts that are heavy this morning. That there would be an exhortation not merely from the pulpit, but there would be that encouragement that comes from the Holy Spirit. So come, Father, we pray, minister to us as your children for the sake of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. May you be glorified in Christ as this is accomplished, and that we would leave here into this broken world with our broken hearts, nevertheless strengthened, shining as lights, holding fast to the word of truth. Father, we pray, may what we just read become more and more true of us, that individually and corporately we would present our bodies as a sacrifice that is pleasing to you. Father, I ask this in the name of Christ, your Son and our Savior. Amen. There's two parts to this sermon. If you have the notes, I will be following them. That's because in God's providence, when I opened up my email this morning at church, I forgot to attach my notes. So kids, I will not leave any of your fill-in-the-blanks empty, I hope, because your outline is my outline. We're going to look at exhortations, and then we're going to apply those exhortations by honoring. Some of you might think, well, I'm not a mother, and so this text will not apply to me. This text applies for all Christians, and I'm just using Mother's Day as an excuse to preach this to us as a congregation. I think this is an apt text and a great reminder for us as a church, as we're even studying this in our Sunday school. Mother's Day can be a joyous time, but can also be a very discouraging time, just like Christmas. And so I'm hoping that if you're a mother here this morning, you will not leave discouraged, but you will leave encouraged as the Word of God meets you where you're at and ministers to your needs. We realize that Paul is writing to a church that requires unity in the gospel. He's given us 11 glorious chapters of scripture and of exhortation. He's shown us what it means to be predestined and what it means to be in Christ. And now he's going to say, this is what it looks like to live together for Christ. And so I want to give us four exhortations that I believe are not only in the text, but in the rest of the Bible as well. Every Christian needs encouragement. And I was thinking about it. What's the difference between encouragement and flattery? Because some of you might think, oh, it's Mother's Day. Ryan wants to tickle some ears here. And nothing could be further from the truth. This is actually something that we need. We need it so badly that God actually gives special grace and giftings to individuals in the church. Now, everyone needs to be encouraging one another. But there will be some in our midst that actually have a spiritual gift of encouragement. And so God gives gifts to the body because the body needs those gifts. Those who flatter their neighbors, says Solomon, lay a snare for their feet. And I'm not seeking to do that. Flattery builds the giver so that he can get something. Encouragement builds the recipient. And that's what I'm hoping to do. I have no ulterior motive. I hope simply to encourage you that you might leave here strengthened for the work God has for you. Whether you're a mother, a child, a father, or something else. Every Christian needs encouragement. Every Christian needs exhortation. There's a slight difference. Because when you hear the word exhortation, it sounds almost negative. Whereas you hear the word encouragement, you think of ear tickling. The Greek word actually means to come alongside. The paraclete. That's where the Spirit comes alongside and encourages us. And an exhortation is not always something that we want to hear, but it's always something that we need to hear. And so every Christian needs exhortation. Every Christian needs encouragement. Understand that encouragement is only one form of exhortation. And you might be cringing, thinking I'm going to drop the boom on you this morning. I don't think so. All of the exhortations this morning do come in the form of encouragement. And if every Christian needs encouragement, every mother is worthy of honor. And you might think, but I'm not a good mother. We will look at the text and we're going to see how the gospel reminds us that honor is something that is not something that we can work towards, but it's often by dint of the office that God has us in. And so you might not feel worthy of honor, but I want to encourage you, mothers. We want to honor you this morning. Text. All Christians, mothers included, are exhorted to remember four things. First, our identity is in Christ. And you're like, where is that in the text? I find it actually in verse 5. Paul is talking about the gifts that God has given in his sovereign wisdom. And it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. And for those of you who are familiar with the New Testament, this is one of Paul's favorite designations for what it means to be a Christian. And this is a great reminder. I had a very good quote from a man named Bob Kellerman in his book, Gospel Counseling. And he was saying that as Christians, whether counseling or the one receiving the counseling, that we have gospel amnesia. And he says that we need to remind ourselves and remind one another that we are in Christ. It's foundational. You cannot live for Christ until you realize that you are in Christ. Because to live for Christ requires to be in Christ. And that your identity is not a mother. Because if that is what makes you you, then most of the sermon is not applicable to anyone else. Susanna, your identity is not going to change this month when you give birth to Nathan or to Paul or whatever the name is. They're holding out. I've been trying to guess the name of their little bambino, and they're fastidious to the end. But you're still going to be as in Christ now as you will be then. Because I would ask you, if being a mother is who you are, what happens if your children die or move out or something happens to you? I remember back in Richmond Hill when we were attending the church there during my seminary years, that there was this needy mother and her identity was bound up in her children. And I've never seen something so pathetic as when the children moved out, how crushed and useless she now felt. And I wish I could have come alongside her earlier, though I didn't have the insight to realize this, and say, you are not your children, and your children are not you, because you might be thinking, I don't have children, so I must be a lesser Christian. Or my children are not Christian, so I must not be as good as that mother who has all Christian children. No, if you're in Christ, that is your identity. That is who you are. And you need to remember that. I need to exhort you to remember that. Otherwise, you will be crushed if you're not a mother or if you're not a good mother. How can I exhort you? Remember that you are in Christ. That is who you are. That you are forgiven in Christ. That you are justified in Christ. That before the Father, you are accepted in Christ. That you are adopted through Christ. This is the gospel. That everything that you have is in Christ. Your sanctification is in Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 1:30. For of God, from God, we now have God's wisdom in Christ. Justification and redemption and even holiness. Your holiness, your set apartness is not because you're a good mother. It's because you're in Christ. And that will change how you mother, actually. That you're actually free now to mother as you want. You're free to let your children go as you want. Because though you your children belong to you, ultimately you belong to God. It's fantastic to know that. You need to remember that your identity is in Christ. That your story is not limited to your children. I was reading another book by Brian Rossner. It's called Known by God, and it's a biblical theology of identity. And Brian Rossner is one of my favorite New Testament scholars. I read his book a lot when we were studying through Galatians, when he was understanding Paul and the law. And this guy's an amazing Australian scholar. 15 years into his marriage, his wife left him, and he was rocked. And he had to do a massive soul searching, and he needed to understand, who am I? Because that's what the world is teaching. Be true to yourself. And the question is, well, who is self? And as he started to pore over the scriptures and study them and pray through them, he began to understand that he was not less now that his wife had left him. That he was still as in Christ after 15 years of marriage than he was before he was even married. And he actually was quoting an Old Testament scholar named Bruce Waltke. And I said to Christina yesterday, I said, this is an amazing thought. But he says, our understanding of who we are is predicated upon remembering our past. Now think about that. Who you are today and how you live that out is built upon what you remember from your past. You will remember your past as a broken child, or as a failure, or someone who didn't measure up to your dad, or something that happened to you. And you will live that out. I've seen it. I'm still working through my own past. And what I need to do is actually take the path of the gospel and remember that. That my past story is now tied up with Christ in his past story. That my past, I remember now, is on the cross in Christ when I died with him. That's what Paul says is the beauty of baptism in Romans 6. But if my past is only remembered that this is what happened to me when I was 6, or this is what happened to me when I was 18, or this is what I did when I was 25, that leads to just despair. And I will live that past out. And so this is what Waltke was saying when God would say to the Israelites, remember the Exodus, remember the covenant, remember the promises, that your identity goes back to the story. Stories are important in the Old Testament, and they're important in the New Testament because Christ comes in and he lives out the story that Adam could never live out. He lives out the story that Israel could never live out. And when we believe in Christ, our story now is grafted into his story. And so that when Christ died on the cross, that we died with him. But when Christ was justified, we were justified with him. When Christ was raised, we were raised with him. And so that everything about us now is tied up. Our identity is in Christ. And you need to remember that. Because some of us predicate our identity on things we've done rather than on what Christ has done. Who are you? First and foremost, you're not a mother or a single or motherless. If you've repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul would say, remember that first and foremost, you are in Christ. You are a son or a daughter of the King. You might never have biological sons or daughters, but that's okay, because Jesus Christ never had biological sons or daughters either. And there's a good chance that Paul didn't. And yet Paul was joyful. I sometimes think when I'm reading in 1 Corinthians 9, it just comes to mind now, that Paul had to wrestle with this when he's talking about what he gave up as an apostle, as an example. We're to give up our lives for the good of others. And he says, look at Peter. How come he gets a wife? Now, scholarly consensus probably shows that Paul had a wife and maybe she passed away or something happened. But he chose not to remarry. But sometimes I wonder, and in his loneliness, when he's on a ship and he's like, this would be great to share. Sometimes he wondered, and then he had to remember, Paul, that's okay. You're in Christ. And so he needed to remember that was his identity. Not single, not married, not a grandpa, not a father, not his job, not this, in Christ. Changes everything. So mothers, remember that. Remember that. You are first and foremost in Christ, and your past goes back to the story of Christ. Second thing, your mission is important. And this is true for all Christians. I have all these great quotes that you won't be able to hear. But it was from Gloria Furman, and she's got an excellent book, husbands, that you should ask your wives first before buying. It's called Missional Motherhood. Don't buy it, because it might make her feel guilty. Right? She might be too busy with all the kids, but if this is something she would like, it's a great book, because she's saying, this is the mission of God for mothers. And it's not different from Paul's mission, or Ryan's mission, or the church's mission. We're called to make disciples. And mothers play an integral role in that. They have a unique role. They're not better and they're not less, but they do have a unique role. And moms, understand that your mission is important, because it's the mission of God to fill the earth with image bearers. And yes, if you have biological children, yes, they are the image of God, but they need to be recreated into the true image of God in Christ. That's Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3. Your mission is no less important than mine. And I know this a little more acutely, perhaps, than some others, but I come home, I've been counseling, I've been, you know, sometimes, you know, witnessing at the library, or doing something visibly awesome for the kingdom. And Christina sometimes just feels, but I'm stuck with the kids. Sometimes you moms can feel that. I got a text this, what was it? Friday. I was checking in, seeing how things are. And we're training, potty training the youngest. And she's like, well, she's peed on your carpet. She pooped on your carpet. And then she shut the door over the carpet. So now the poop is like caked onto the bottom of the door. Checked in a little bit later. How are things? And she said, well, I've got poop and pee off my hands now. So things are better. And you might think, well, how is that? She's exhibiting hopefully patience or grace or servanthood. That's not unimportant stuff. And mums, you might not feel that you're out winning the world for Jesus. But do understand that mothers have a unique role in the kingdom of God. I thought of Charles Spurgeon. And how if you read one of his two autobiographies, how he is absolutely convinced that it was the prayers of his mom that God heard in the conversion of his soul. Now, his mom didn't preach to him out of Isaiah 45, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. It was some primitive Methodist. He wasn't even a preacher, but you remember when he was converted, he was on his way to church, and it was a cold, snowy day in England, which is pretty much every day. And he pulled into a primitive Methodist church, and the preacher couldn't make it due to the inclement weather. And Spurgeon, with his humor, just said, yeah, this guy was a terrible preacher. And he kept saying the same thing over and over and over, which is my hope for maybe some of your conversions. And he said, sir, son, you will be miserable until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was saved through the instrument of this man. And yet Spurgeon believed that all those years of mom on her knees praying for me is what actually fueled the conversion. Some of you have heard of even the Wesley brothers. I prefer Charles over John. Not only are his hymns better, his theology is better. But if you read about their mother, they knew that it was through her conversion, through her prayers and through her witness to them, they were converted. Only after, I wish I was a little more biblical, but I thought of a passage in 2 Timothy 1:5. Timothy, this great agent that God would use to come alongside Paul in the book of Acts. He had a father who was a Gentile, but a godly mother who was Jewish. And what Paul is seeking to encourage this despondent disciple, he's saying, Timothy, I want you to fan into flame all these things. But he says, I want you to imitate the faith not only of your mother, but of your grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And Paul mentions them because mothers are important. Your mission is important. And I want to encourage you, moms. Do not believe the lie of the world that says that you're second rate. I'm sick of that nonsense. That if you don't go and make six figures, or that if you stay home with kids. And I want to say this. To those of us who are not mothers, whether you're single or you're a male or your kids are out of the house, encourage the moms. They need it. This is why Romans 12 is about the body. And we all need encouragement. But mothers especially. They're at home with them. With the kids all day. And you might not know what it feels like to be a mom. And you don't have to. You can just pray for them. And encourage them. Maybe ask if you can babysit the kids so she can get out. Their ministry, their mission is important. Moms, your mission is important. I hope you understand that. And I hope you don't forget it. And I hope you don't feel second rate. What about for those who maybe feel bad that they don't have children? Well, we're all called actually to be parents. Paul would talk to Titus or to Timothy as his true son in the faith. And I couldn't help but think of Titus 2. You don't need to be a biological mother to be a Titus 2 woman. So maybe your kids are moved out, or maybe you don't have kids. Well, your mission is important too. You should be ministering maybe to young moms, coming alongside them like Paul says, that you can help them, that you can minister and teach them, and that you can actually work, say, in the nursery or the Sunday school, or you can work with their kids. Your mission is also for children, if not biological, then spiritual. Third, I'm trying to speed up so that you husbands can take your wives out for lunch or make them lunch. Third, our resources are supernatural. I get that from the clear thing that the Spirit gives everybody gifts for mission. Faithful is he who calls you, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, who will also do it. So if your mission is important, your giftings will be adequate. And he gives you the Spirit. Mums, you should be mothering in the Spirit. And when you have those moments when you want to rail or you want to respond as you ought not to, remember that God has given you the Holy Spirit. He's given the body, yes, the Spirit, but he gives to each individually gifts that are necessary and vital for the mission. The second gift he gives you is not unrelated. He gives you the body. He gives you the Spirit of Christ, and he gives you the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you, mums, don't try to do this alone. And I want to encourage you, non-mums, don't let the mums do it alone. Come alongside. That's what that word parakaleo means. When Paul says, I appeal to you, he's saying, I'm exhorting you. I'm coming alongside you with the Word of God. And so, yes, we all know that the Christian has the Holy Spirit. And that's a supernatural gift that God gives us for his mission. But we often forget about the church. Who is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And we quickly say, well, I am. True, if you're a Christian. But do understand, it's only used once in the New Testament. And the other four times, the temple of the Holy Spirit, the place where God resides, or the place where God is honored and glorified, is the church. And so, mums, yes, you need to be filled with the Spirit, but yes, you need to be filling in a church. You need to be part of a church, and a church needs to be part of you. Your resources are supernatural. And perhaps part of the reason why you're so burnt out is you've been relying upon your own resources. When I was in seminary, my pastoral theology teacher said this. He says, when I'm burnt out, I know it's because I've been working in the flesh. When we're trying to accomplish what God has given us in the flesh, we can't do it. It's trying to run a car on diesel when it's meant for gas. But you have the Spirit, and the Spirit operates within the body. So I want to encourage you. And I want to encourage us as a church. This isn't just for moms. This is for us. Come alongside those who are pregnant. Ask if there's any way they can help. Come alongside those when the kids are freaking out. Ask if they can help. Come alongside those who have teenagers who just seem to be off the walls. Come alongside and help. Come alongside those who everything seems peachy and going well and ask if you can help. These gifts are for the common good. I appeal to you, church, to live as a body, singular. You see how that works? We all offer ourselves up individually towards the singular. This is what it looks like to worship God. We serve one another. Remember, your identity is in Christ. Second, your mission is important. Right? That's why he gives the Spirit. Third, your resources are supernatural. And fourthly, remember that your labor is not in vain. God is on his throne. And God will work in and through you. 1 Corinthians 15 says, because Christ is raised from the dead, your labor is not in vain. And so I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Which when you thought that would be the last diaper when you're training, there might be a couple more. When you think that's the last fever or the last fill in the blank, your labor's not in vain. Mums, you will hear that just as much as Paul. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know what the talents are that God has given you. But if you're a mother, he's entrusted children to you. And I'm not trying to guilt you. I'm just saying, keep on keeping on. Trust in God's goodness. Trust in his promises. May the church minister to you. And may you minister to the church. And do remember this. Because sometimes you're going to feel like, why am I doing this? It would have been easier just to have taken my college or university degree, get a job. Then I could be useful for the kingdom. No, God on his throne has given you two little children. Five little children, fill in the blank little children, that you might serve and that you might minister to them the gospel of God's grace. So that's your exhortations. remember. Spurgeon said that we always need to be preaching to ourselves. Actually, I had another great quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones in his excellent book called Spiritual Depression. Lloyd-Jones is probably right now my favorite preacher. And so everything he's writing, I'm absorbing. And in his book, he says this. He says, the reason why many of us are often so miserable is because we're not listening to ourselves rightly. What does he mean by that? He says we're listening to all the wrong things we're telling ourselves rather than listening to ourselves preaching the gospel to ourselves. We need to stir ourselves up by way of reminder, says Peter. And we need to be around those who actually stir us up by way of reminder. When you guys are getting together in your grace groups, remind the mums this. And remind everyone else this. This is who you are. Your work is important. It's not in vain. And we're here for you. So Lloyd-Jones says that a lot of our miserableness, if that's a word, comes from hearing all the wrong preaching. One, we're looking to a wrong past. Or two, we're not understanding. I'm a failure. Nobody loves me. My house is filthy. Fill in the blank. And Lloyd-Jones would say, no, you need to go back. And if you read his book on spiritual depression, right after underlying Psalm 41 and 42, O soul, why art thou so cast down? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. And then he moves to Romans 5, the doctrine of justification. Make sure you're preaching to yourselves. And husbands, oh, love your wives and remind them. Remind them of who they are in Christ. That their identity is not in having the Instagram body that you see. I hate that in the social media. All these celebrity people who don't have children with the six-pack abs. Understand, mums, it's hard to have that after you have babies. And that's the sacrifice. But it's worth it. Don't let the world preach to you the lie of this is what it means to be a successful woman. It's who is the prince of the power of this world? Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan. You know what he loves to do? Discourage moms by giving them a worldly understanding of what an awesome mom is instead of a spiritual, biblical understanding of what a mom is. You might never get that six-pack back, and that's okay. Well done. Your reward is worth it. And I want to encourage you, your labors are not in vain. So, I'm hoping I remember this. I didn't even fill this in, kids. But I want to now move from the exhortation and encouragement section to the application. Exhortation to application. I just want to honor you. Right? Paul says here that we are to use our gifts. We're not to think of ourselves. We're to think of others. And as we think of others, how can I encourage? And I confess I need to exercise this a little more from the pulpit. But it says in verse 8, the one who exhorts, the one who encourages, the one who comes alongside in his exhortation. And that's what I want to do. I was reading chapter 13 and Paul, talking, yes, about the authority, says that we owe it. He owes the gospel to everyone. But he says that even as people in the body, that we owe respect to whom it is owed, honor to whom it is owed. And so I wanted to just spend some time honoring you. And I have three. One is vocally. You just need to say it. Mums don't hear it enough. It's just assumed. But I want you to encourage, would you call your mom today and say Happy Mother's Day? And would you say more than that? Would you say, I'm thankful to God for you? I'm thankful to God. This is what I do for Mother's and Father's Day. And yes, it's sappy. And yes, it's not manly. That's okay. It's vocal, and my mom needs to hear it from the heart. Mom, I'm thankful to God that you not only birthed me, but that you bore with me. All the years when I was just this nasty little scoundrel. Thank you. I don't say things like this, but thank you for not like murdering me. Right? When you thought about it. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for cooking for me. See, I've got the gift of humor, Matt. Vocally, call your mom. Husbands, tell your wife, I'm thankful that you are raising our children up. And I pray for you. The second is practically. Verbally, yes, and women need to hear this. And this is not ear-tickling. There's a book by Sam Crabtree called Practicing Affirmation, and he says, no, building others up glorifies God. Get that out of your mind that if you say you're doing a good job, you're scratching their ears. No! We're commanded to exhort, to encourage others with exhortation. The Spirit actually moves us to do that. So yes, do it vocally, but also do it practically. Honor them practically. Ask them, what would make you feel honored? It might be doing the dishes for her. Letting her go, yeah, Peter. That was an inspirational moment. I could just feel it. But ask her. Ask her. Talk. And I fail at this, but sometimes, so I'm wired differently than Christina. What I want is not always what she wants. Like me, when I bought her family, this is the first the case involved in the Clark Christmas. You know what I got all of her family? Because I didn't know them. Guess what I got them for Christmas? Just guess. Loads of books. None of them read them. So, and I didn't even get them back. Ask, how can I honor you? And maybe it is just verbally. But maybe, so I was talking with John, we met on Friday. Is it okay if I share this? So last weekend was a great weekend for Justine. Because John watched the Minions while Justine went with the ladies down to Great Falls. That's awesome. Now, it might not be that. Justine is not your wife or John. But ask them. Maybe they just need to feel spoiled. And some of us dirty reformers think that spending money is always bad. So spoil your wife. And if you don't have the money, maybe somebody can come alongside and help you. Spoil her. Honor her practically. I don't know what that looks like. That's why you're going to ask them this afternoon. Third, worshipfully. This command to the body to exhort one another in exhortation is an expression of worship. So we have here in verse 8 that word exhortation, paraklesis. Paul uses the exact same word in verse 1, parakaleo. I appeal to you, I exhort you, I am encouraging you. Again, in my notes, I had all these fancy understandings, the three understandings of this Greek word. One means to come alongside. Two means to speak with authority. And three means to come alongside to help, to give aid, to bring care to. And so that's what Paul's doing here. He's saying that we care for one another to help, to come alongside, to bear that burden. But he says here, I'm appealing to you in light of the mercies, plural of God. So we need to know the gospel. But knowing the gospel will look differently in a community. See that? They now know have the gospel in chapters 1 to 11. Yes, it's been written for them. But it's not enough just to know the gospel. Now they need to apply the gospel. And he says, applying the gospel requires a bodily sacrifice. And so you're to honor them with your lips and with your life, and it's to be sacrificial or worshipful. You're to offer your bodies to one another. Offer your time to one another, your talents to one another, as a sacrifice. Bodies, plural, sacrifice, singular, that they all look together, and they're holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. When you think of spiritual worship, you know what most people think of? The picture that comes into my mind is an article I read in the Babylon Bee, a very trustworthy source. And it was about this worship pastor who had on, I was telling Nathan about this, he had worship face stuck. So you often will watch on YouTube, Hillsong or Bethel, you should be watching that. But in these churches, they always have the worship face. The worship pastor. They all have their hands up, all like this. Expressing. I'm not mocking. I'm just saying. This is what people think. What is your spiritual worship? You know what Paul says? serving others, serving your wife, serving your mothers, serving those in the church. That's what spiritual worship looks like. Hey, oh, you know, I'm being transcendent. Yes, prayer, of course, but Paul is saying, what is your spiritual worship? Offering yourself up for others as you're filled with the Spirit. To honor your mothers as a sacrificial expression of your worship to God. Honoring your mother is a way that you can worship God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Rather, be being transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is God's will. I want to do what is good and acceptable and perfect. Just think of the Gap store. That's how I memorize texts. I want to do the Gap. Good, acceptable, perfect. What is God's will? Serving God by serving others. Worshiping God by honoring my mother. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your parents. Honor your father. Honor your mother. So I've sought to give some exhortations. Mothers, I hope you feel honored from this pulpit. And I'm leaving you with Romans 12:10, congregation, as your application. Now what? So what? Now what? Outdo one another in showing honor. The Greek word there literally means take the lead. Don't wait for others. So I've sought to show honor from the pulpit. I want you to outdo me now. You don't have to be humble bragging on Facebook. God sees you. You don't have to say hashtag outdid the pastor in showing honor. Which isn't hard, I know. But that's your application. One application. Outdo me in showing your mom honor today. And then for the rest of your life, outdo one another in showing your brothers and sisters honor. Show the single ladies honor. Show the single men honor. Show the grandparents honor. Show one another honor. But today is Mother's Day, and so I'll sort of focus our application on that. Kids, tell your mother you love them. Pray to God for them. Help them out. Outdo one another in showing honor. Father, we thank you for the gospel, which is what enables us to do this. To do all this requires love. And Father, we need to be just overwhelmed by the love of Christ. Father, thank you that you loved us first. And you gave us your Son. That we love you and love others only because you first loved us. Father, help us not just to say that we are thankful for one another and especially mothers in our midst. But Father, I pray that we would be sacrificial in our expressions of love, in telling them that they are loved by God and practically serving. Father, I pray that you would help us as a congregation to increasingly embody this community of love. And so, Father, I just ask, Holy Spirit, reside in our midst where Christ is on his throne. Help us to go forth from this place, Lord, applying your word by faith and shining brightly in this world, Lord, where mothers are not respected. Father, we pray that we'd be radically different. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.